Let's do it.
To the right, 5 seconds to go in the first half. Dante fires deep to the left. Moss caught it at the 11, but now he pitches
look at
it.
This.
Demole Williams, touchdown!
You gotta be kidding me!
Welcome back to another episode of the Climbing the Pocket podcast. I am your host, Jason Brown, joined once again by the full crew. Sorry, Paul Allen is not here today, but we do have QB1. JR, what's going on, my man?
What's going on, man? Happy that football is back. We're officially a week away from the first preseason game. I'm just happy. Hopefully, it will be a preseason game, a Hall of Fame game this year after that debacle that happened last year.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Last Thursday for a long time with no football. And next in line, we have the man, Miles Gorham, actually in his house with some proper service, not in the middle of nowhere this week. Miles, what's going on, Doug?
You know, just excited to finally be home. But now we got a puppy, so he takes up all the time. I've been up since 4 in the morning.
Oh, yeah, you did that to yourself, though, man. And Saxy Prince, what's going on, Doug?
What's going on, y'all? I might actually be stationary for this pod. I'm laying down right now, just chilling, relaxing, you know, doing what I do. But as we were kind of going through, I started thinking about, like, man, what I want to ask about today. And it's a conversation I've had with a few people over the last couple of years. You know, whether it be video games or, you know, movies or, you know, just some, like, forms of entertainment that just – those worlds that – just seem to be so, like, fantasy driven, right? So I guess I wanted to know if you could bring one fantasy world to the forefront and make it, like, actually real. I'll start off first. I have a few. For me, I guess it's gonna be a combination between Pokemon, and then also there's this game that I play on Xbox. It's called Mass Effect. It's basically like space cowboys and you know, you get to meet all these aliens and stuff. So I thought those two worlds. So, like, maybe a combination of both of them, but probably Pokemon first. What about y'all?
I feel like I'm struggling to grasp, like, this premise of the question, but probably for me, if we're, like, going in that script more of, like, I'd probably go, like, Marvel. Does that work? Like, that kind of world?
Yeah. If you could bring you could bring superheroes. All right, I'll take that. Yeah, if you can bring like something that's considered to be fantasy, not real, never going to be real, all that stuff. So obviously, superheroes would be a good thing. Universe.
I probably have two. I'd probably say the Marvel Universe and a Viking Super Bowl. So,
JR, Jason, what about y'all?
So this is a movie that I love, and if I'm guaranteed not to die, I would love to be like in a Jurassic Park setting because everybody wonders like, did the dinosaurs ever really live? And, I mean, it's just something you always wonder, and it's a movie I love. It's kind of crazy.
Hold on. Yep. Just one second, something you just said. People wonder if the dinosaurs truly
lived. Yeah, I was just going to say, dog.
this is striking a little close to Hard Knocks for me right now.
Hey, you know who this point is, you better know.
You know absolutely. Who the boy is.
Absolutely. One of my best friends, William Hayes, doesn't believe the dinosaurs ever lived. I always ask him, well, how did the bones get there? And he never has an answer.
Or that dinosaur exists right now. They exist right now.
Maybe.
Well, they do. Like birds, alligators, fish.
I believe dinosaurs were here. I just want to know what happened.
Yeah.
That's what I want to know.
So our next guest on the pod is going to have to be Bill Nye, the science guy.
Or
Neil deGrasse Tyson. Come through and talk to us about the dinosaurs.
What about you, Jason? What world would you bring?
I don't know. I think I'm bro with Miles on this one. Something, you know, Avengers related. Maybe I'll go kick it with the Thundercats or something. They always seem like they were having a good time out there. You know, bouncing around. Doing what, as an older person, I went back and looked and realized is that they were getting lit out there with the Thundercats. So I think I'd probably go and kick it with them and hang out.
Speaking of Thundercats, JR, I had JR, I was watching more Lavelle Crawford, and
I was watching
he
that
has
just before this.
He has amazing bit about, you know, locking his grandma and father out of the house and stuff, and how he was eating or watching Thundercats and drinking on some chocolate milk. Y'all go check it out; it's hilarious.
I've been watching that all day.
Most underrated comedian ever. I can't believe y'all didn't watch his stuff regularly.
I didn't watch his stuff. I knew who he was, but I didn't watch him regularly. So
hilarious.
The grocery store one probably is probably by far the funniest one I've seen, though.
It's funniest one. I want y'all to go look at this whenever we get off this pod. Just type in his name and type in Happy Burger. It is hilarious.
All right. We have our homework. Well, now we got that out the way. You know, as JR said, football is back. Vikings are back on the field. So we got a lot to talk about today. So we're going to get this thing kicked off with the big news that came out yesterday. Everson Griffin signed a new deal. $58 million, $34 million guaranteed is what's been reported right now. Makes him the third highest 4-3 defensive end. Locks him up through his age 35 season. So just with the details that we have right now, because we don't know all the particulars, we don't know how the money's really going to shake out, the guarantees, all that kind of stuff. JR, what were your thoughts on the deal for Everson in particular? And then I guess what are your thoughts about signing guys who may be either at or maybe over their athletic peak to these big kind of late career contracts?
You know, we've always seen that Rick Spielman is very loyal to his draft picks that produce. He wasn't necessarily the full-time GM when they drafted Everson, but he still was within the organization. So he still has a lot of ties to Everson, and, you know, being a fourth-round pick, a questionable fourth-round pick at the time, you know, he had a lot of off-the-field issues that were going on. They took a risk by drafting him. And like I said, Spielman is very loyal to his guys that, you know, produce on the field, and he's one of the longest tenure Vikings. And, I mean, I like Everson, but I kind of felt like this was a thank you contract. I still like it, but I thought they did the right thing by paying him, because I thought if they waited till 2019, they were going to have to make a decision between him and Danielle Hunter. You couldn't pay both of them at the same time, just because the Vikings have a lot of young core guys that they need to pay, or that was a higher priority above Everson if they were to wait until 2019. But initially, I do like it, and I still do like it, but I'm one that just – I want to see the terms of the deal before I completely finalize my judgment on it. But initial reaction, I like it. The length, it was a little lengthy for me, being that it basically is a six-year, $75 million deal. But I thought – I mean, I thought he deserved it, but the length, it was a little bit too long for me. They'll end up restructuring it probably in the back end of his career, because I think he'll be 35 or 36 years old, which is very, very old for a defensive end. So I like the deal, but I still want to see the details of it once those are released.
Hey, Cameron Wake is yelling at you for saying it's too old. 35 is too old to be an effect.
Dwight Freeney,
too, but I'm just playing.
Hey, Miles, so what are your thoughts on it? I know you're a big Everson Griffin fan, so what are your thoughts on the deal, the structure, the length, all those kind of things in terms of you're paying him? And then something that JR mentioned there, I also want to get your thoughts on, where JR mentioned it felt a little bit like a thank you contract. What are your thoughts on kind of that concept and how that plays?
Yeah, I mean, you notice like some teams when they have, you know, long tenured players who have, Everson's only gotten better as his career's gone on. So he's kind of hit that peak. He's at that point, I think he's in his prime, trying to hit that, you know, probably maybe toward that tail end of his prime, but he's only gotten better over the years. So I think, like you said, he's been really good to the organization since he's been drafted. He grew up pretty quick, you know, with all the off the field issues he had, you know, coming in as a prospect. And then, you know, everything he's done, I think, you know, off the field in terms of charitable work and all that, you know, in the community, I know he's really well known around here in that aspect. So I think, you know, they view him as one of their like faces of the franchise in a way. So they said, you know, kind of what JR said is more like a thank you for, you know, turning your life around. You know, thank you and congratulations on a great career so far. Let's keep it that way. Let's keep you a tenured Viking for life. So, you know, because he could go down as one of those guys who, you know, joins the Ring of Honor one day and stuff like that. So I think they kind of view him as that guy who can be that veteran leader later on, you know, with guys like Danielle Hunter and that core defensive group that, you know, that they've been harping on. You know, guys like Eric Hendricks is coming up, potentially Anthony Barr. It sounds like they're probably going to restructure Linval.
Diggs.
Rose, obviously, is about to get his. Harrison Smith. So they have their core guys that they like, and I think they're starting it off with a guy like Everson Griffin as kind of like a, hey, guys, like, we'll extend you, so don't think like it won't come for you too. So I'm excited about it. Like, you know, like you guys are saying, though, I'd like to see the structure of the full contract, because I don't expect it to be something where they're going to hurt themselves, you know, 4 years down the road when he's, you know, in his mid-30s. So, but yeah, I'm excited about it.
And Prince, I feel like you're probably aligned with the rest of us on the contract. So give us your take on Everson real quick, and then transition us into who you think are the next couple guys that are going to be getting paid this offseason, since Rick kind of hinted that some more big things were on the horizon.
Yeah, I think I like the fact that he got paid. I potentially had him as a guy that, you know, in a few years, if they are thinking about, you know, maybe some guys who, or even now, if they're thinking about a guy that they might want to trade, you know, before he starts hitting that decline, I thought Everson Griffin was definitely one of the guys they could, you know, be considering. But I'm okay with the contract. I think it was Miles who kind of hit on the, or even JR who hit on like the whole thank you contract, or it hit on more so that it was, it kind of shows the rest of the team, especially the young guys, hey, if you do what you're supposed to do, if you really buy into our system and what we're trying to do here in Minnesota, this is going to be you. And it's not just to say, it's not just for the guys who produce at a high level, but also the guys who mature and really become, you know, become leaders on this team. And I think we've seen that with Chad Greenway, Brian Robinson, Everson Griffin becoming another guy. So yeah, we're definitely getting paid. As far as the next guy, I think that should and probably will get paid. I think I tweeted out Linval Joseph. I mean, Linval Joseph is highly underpaid for what he's able to accomplish. I mean, I think some people put up some stats that Sharif Floyd is even scheduled to make more money this coming year than Linval Joseph is. And, you know, heard some rumblings as far as, you know, Linval wanting to get paid a little bit more, as he should. I think he's producing at a, you know, I don't know if it's top five nose, probably top five nose tackle, maybe at least top 10 nose tackle. So, I mean, he deserves to get paid. And one thing that I caution Vikings Twitter about is getting upset because you see one player getting paid, even though you might think another player has, you know, priority of getting paid. You know, Everson getting paid, Linval getting paid won't necessarily stop a guy like Xavier Rose from getting paid. So, yeah, I think Linval first, and then probably we'll see Zave get paid.
Real quick, too, I just want to chime in. I think, you know, the Everson contract and, like, looking at guys like Linval and Danielle Hunter coming down the pipeline, I really think that it really shows you that the defensive line group is kind of like the identity of this Vikings team in general, you know, the pass rush especially. But the defensive line as a whole, they're really the identity of this team. So I think they're showing that by – you know, showing guys like, you know, Everson, obviously, and then what they did with B-Rob, Linval coming up, and then we'll see what they do with the three technique guys. But, yeah, I just think it just kind of shows a little bit of what their thoughts are.
Yeah, and JR, what about you? What are you thinking? I know that we just mentioned Xavier Rhodes there, I guess. Is that your pick for the next guy who is likely to get paid this offseason? Is there anyone else that you think that maybe is flying under the radar that might get extended this offseason as well?
Yeah, I think Xavier should get his money within the next 2 weeks. Some stuff that I've been hearing is just some things they need to iron out. It's just some upfront money and bonus money. You know, his agent, he's a tough guy to deal with. A lot of people have said that his name is Sonny Shy. He's done Cam Chancellor's deal and D'Angelo Hall. We both know those were highly disputed contracts, and Cam Chancellor actually held out for a little bit over his whole contract ordeal, but it sounds like they should come to an agreement here soon, sometime in camp. So it'll be good for Xavier to get paid and just not have that on his mind. And, you know, he's a shutdown corner. He's proven that he is that. He has a chance to take that leap into elite status with another good year this year. So I think he'll be next. Linval will probably be after that. And who knows after that, the whole Teddy Sam situation could really throw a wrench into the 2015 draft guys getting their next deals as far as Kendricks and Diggs and guys of that sort. So we'll see.
All right. So let's kind of play this out. We move forward. Sam balls out this season, and we know what the quarterback market is. Sam gets paid. Who do you think is kind of the top candidate of the core guys, the guys that people kind of think of as the identity of the team, to potentially be cut or traded or, really cut or traded because we aren't able to pay all the top flight guys that we have on the defensive side of the ball and also pay a top-level quarterback. So I'll start with you, Prince. I guess, what are your thoughts on that, and who do you think could be, a recognizable face that potentially could be let go down the line? Maybe if we extend Sam, or even if we don't, someone that we might not be thinking of.
Yeah, I mean, the quarterback situation is going to tell a lot of, who's capable, who's able to stay here and who's not. I think if you do pay a quarterback, I think for me, it's the most obvious choice. I didn't think this a few years ago, but it's become more and more apparent. Anthony Barr, the linebacker position has, around the league, has kind of diminished, which, you really only kind of need two, in some circumstances, just one guy who can really be that linebacker that's able to, take away from run, drop into coverage, play his keys every so often. So, I mean, when I look at, guys like Eric Kendricks, who I definitely feel needs to get paid, Danielle Hunter, if Barr has another down season, as athletic as Anthony Barr is, I mean, I think there probably could be another guy that you could find down the pipeline that can do what Barr has brought to to the table. Because realistically speaking, Anthony Barr right now, his strength is pass rushing. His strength is pass rushing. And, if we can get him to doing that a lot more so, maybe he can develop into being that full linebacker that we need him to be. But as far as the core guys, he might be the odd man out when it comes to if you need to pay a quarterback and make that decision.
Okay, Miles, how about you? What are you thinking?
Sorry, it's going to be a little loud in the background with the dog. I'd say a couple guys. Prince already touched on it. Anthony Barr is probably one of those guys that might be on his way out if they have to, if he doesn't prove it this year. I think Trey Waynes is another guy that they end up would, potentially not pay because, he might not have shown enough to warrant a big contract that he'd probably be thinking he deserved. And then a couple other guys, like veteran guys that I think they could potentially restructure or, potentially move. Guys like Kyle Rudolph in the next couple of years. I know his cap hits over the next couple of years is, just over $7 million. So, depending on how he starts playing, that could be another guy they look to restructure or move on from. I think Anderson Dejo, I don't think he has a big cap hit, but it's big enough to where they can consider moving on from him. And then you can hear it in the background too, the squeak. That's, yeah. But lastly, I think they could find ways to potentially try to, turn some of Harrison Smith's money into roster bonuses and signing bonuses and stuff to kind of help alleviate some of the cap hit, but stuff like that. There aren't a lot of guys on offense. I think that maybe Alex Boone is another guy they might look to move on from in the next year. So,
okay, JR, do you have anyone that hasn't already been mentioned?
No, I'm pretty much in agreement with everybody. I think Anthony Barr would be the odd man out simply because of how high the outside linebacker contracts are. And Justin Houston and Von Miller just destroyed the price tag for outside linebackers. Justin Houston is making $22 million this year, and Von Miller is making $20 million this year. So I believe Clay Matthews is making around $15 million. So Anthony Barr probably will want something in between that, and I just don't think he's worth that right now just based off what he showed last year. Maybe he can get to that price tag if he does prove to be in elite status like he showed his first year. He's shown to be an elite guy and make lasting impacts in games. But it's a big year for Anthony Barr. He has a lot to prove to me and to prove to Viking fans as well. The inside linebacker price tag really isn't that high. Luke Kuechly makes around $12 or $13 million a year, and I don't think Kendricks would command that type of money just because he's not an elite guy at the position, so that's pretty manageable. I really don't know what Diggs would command just because I really don't have a good feel for what his price tag would be right now. It's something like a contract, I believe it was Allen Hurns got, but I think he's way more valuable than what Allen Hurns is. I think he made around $10 million a year. I think Diggs would ask for a little bit more than that, but that's manageable for a guy of his stature. So I think Anthony Barr be the odd man out simply because of his price tag and the price tag of outside linebackers being so high.
Yeah, you mentioned Diggs and his contract. This upcoming offseason will be really interesting to see what a guy like Jarvis Landry ends up getting paid, because, I mean, he's racked up a ton of yards, you know, a lot of TDs. He's an integral part of that offense, but I mean, he's a guy that, you know, they quote-unquote manufacture all his touches for, not really, not particularly big, not particularly athletic. So it'll be really interesting to see what the NFL values that type of player as, and if he gets paid, because I think that'll tell us a lot about how the Diggs situation will go based on it looks like they might want to use him. So that'll be a really interesting thing for us to take a look at.
Similar players, so I definitely could see them using that as a baseline price, what Jarvis Landry gets.
I got a guy who's lives down in Florida. He's a Miami guy, Dolphins fan, and he's been saying that they should just move on from Jarvis and let Kenny Stills, Devontae Parker be the guys, and draft somebody else and let Landry hit the market, because he doesn't think the value is there in terms of what they'd probably end up having to pay him. So I think that's something to think about, because if he hits the open market, he's probably going to get more money than he would staying in Miami anyways.
Tavon Austin type money, baby.
Oh, my Lord. But obviously he's better than Tavon Austin. That's
absolutely.
All right. So, I mean, we've gone over 20-plus minutes into this podcast now. I guess it's time for us to talk about the thing that had a Vikings Twitter going crazy today. Know how everyone spent their lunch break? Teddy Bridgewater's press conference. You know, 14 minutes they posted up there on Vikings.com. I mean, it's a Teddy press conference, so he didn't say too much. But I guess based on what he did say, JR, what are your thoughts? I'll start with you since you guys are best friends now.
That's funny. Everybody thinks me and Teddy are best friends. I've never met Teddy a day in my life. Only had Twitter interactions with him. But his press conference today, I thought it was very vanilla. I mean, it's typical Teddy. You're not going to get much from his press conferences. He's going to keep it very short and sweet. But I thought he got kind of personal with it, and meaning that he kind of took us inside of his head a little bit and walked us through his entire situation. And the one thing that really stuck out to me was that he had to learn how to walk again. And that just shows the severity of his injury and what he had to go through. But he seems like he's really focused on getting back, and he doesn't want to rush it. That's what he kept saying. He's in it for the long term. And, you know, a lot of people got worked up about him saying he didn't necessarily want to be a Viking for a long time. But I think he's just worried about his injury and his rehab right now. He's not necessarily worrying about getting back on the field. He just wants to be as healthy as possible and be the best Teddy that he can be. And that's what he kept saying. So I'm interested to see how they treat this entire situation. We saw video clips of him on the ladder and, you know, do various drills off to the side of practice. And, you know, he's making progress and he looks ahead of schedule, like a lot of people have been saying. So it seems like he's in it for the long term. I don't know what the long term is. I don't think he knows what the long term is. And I don't think the organization knows what the long term is either. But, you know, he showed a lot of maturity today, giving Sam a vote of confidence as well. Just saying what he did last year was pretty incredible. And I thought he was very mature when he said that. And he showed me a lot today as far as his press conference. And I really enjoyed just how mature he was and how much he opened up.
Miles, what are your thoughts?
Yeah, I actually didn't think it was as vanilla as, you know, his previous press conferences and such, just because I think we finally seen, and obviously the injury kind of changed a lot of things with it, but because he's not technically the starting quarterback anymore, but, you know, he's more focused on himself. He doesn't, not that he doesn't care about his teammates, not that he doesn't care about the organization, but he's focused on himself and making sure that Teddy Bridgewater's, you know, ready to go mentally and physically. So I was really, really good to hear that, like hear him say that and come out and say, you know, he obviously supports his teammates, but he needs to do what's best for him right now. And so whether, you know, whether he was a part of that conversation of, you know, the understanding of the pup list and doing all that and knowing that, you know, he might need to take another year off, or not, you know, full year, but, you know, this season before even consider playing again, because he knows the severity of this injury. And he talked about, you know, talking to guys like Frank Gore and Willis McGahee as, you know, guys that have been through these kind of situations. So I think it's I thought it was a really good press conference. I liked, you know, he didn't shy away from a lot of the questions. Like JR said, mentioning Sam Bradford in a really good light is, you know, important. I think he knows that's important for the organization and for the fans to hear. Yeah, and one thing I do think people kind of overblow is the fact that, you know, he was asked, you know, do you want to be with this organization long term and all that, you know, be a Viking lifer, you know, that kind of stuff. And he kind of sidestepped the question, but at the same time, he kind of was just like, I just want to play football. So I don't think at this point he really cares where he plays football. It's just about getting the chance to play football again. And he's not going to take that for granted. So if it's with Minnesota, I would love it. If not, you know, he's a guy I'm going to root for anyways. But I think just in general for him, he's in that mindset of just getting back and playing football.
New England.
There's a few teams. I think like Jacksonville could be a team that he could potentially go to.
Miami, Cleveland.
Arizona. I know Bruce Arians maybe not be the best fit, but I think, I mean, they have some weapons. I mean, Bruce Arians could reinvent that offense a little bit around him. But I also think Sam Bradford could fit really well in Arizona too. So, but yeah.
Oh no. And we had Prince on the move there for a little bit. So not sure what that means about your thoughts on what Miles was just saying, but you know, Prince, what are your thoughts on the press conference?
You taking out the trash?
No. I'm not. You guys know me. I just get too antsy. I think I would disagree with JR. I didn't think it was as vanilla as I'm used to. Teddy's conferences, let's be honest, they are boring. He doesn't say very much. Always about the team, always about this. But we did get to see, I think it was pretty similar as we saw when Adrian Peterson came back in 2015, you know, after being gone for a year. You know, I think that when players are away from football for at least a year, especially the NFL, they really get to reflect on who they are as a person and what they want in life and stuff. And when Adrian Peterson came back, he's really similar. He's like, hey, I don't know what my future is. This is what I want. I know family's important to me. And then Teddy was just like, you know what? Like, I know now what's important to me and how it was to just learn how to walk again. And, you know, I think there's kind of this coming of age that really happens when players take a year away from football. I don't think that we got too much out of certain questions that he asked, but the other thing that I saw is when Teddy's not in the forefront of things, when he's not necessarily, again, he's not the starting quarterback where he has to be the choir boy or give the the directed answers, he really started to see his personality come out a little bit more. You know, Sam Ackstrom asked about his running, he said he beat him in a race, and you know, he joked about it, and he wasn't snippy, but he's just like, hey, you know, like, talking to the media is not going to help my knee to get better. Talking to the media is not going to help me walk again. You know, you really start to see some of Teddy's personality where you don't see it when he's a starting quarterback having to answer the question. I guess my last take is that I think this press conference went as well on, if we just look at it from the Viking side of things. You know, if Teddy was, you know, if he aired some of his grievances a little bit more, or maybe just take, you know, little subtle shots. I thought like the videos that he would post were little shots at the organization saying that, like, you know, hey, I'm still here. I'm still that guy. First round pick, I can do this. Whereas in this conference, he was a little bit more relaxed. He gave the answers that from the Viking standpoint, like, it doesn't put as much pressure on them with this QB controversy that Vikings Twitter wants to kind of drug up. I guess that's my final take. It's just that, you know, this press conference has gotten as good as it could from the Vikings standpoint.
Yeah, but I'd say the last thing I'll add to it is something I think that Yinka kind of touched on. I think that really everyone kind of touched on a little bit there is that the thing that I really took away more than anything is that you could really tell how much he loved the game, right? And there was a point in there where he was talking about what it does to you being on the sidelines, watching your teammates play and not being able to be out there, and how that really was one of the things that was just driving him to push and work as hard as he possibly could to get back on the field. And I just thought that was awesome, because sometimes I think that we forget, you know, these guys are out there, they're getting paid all this money, but you know, they really do love what they're doing. And it was really nice to see him really open up and not just talk about the fact that he loved the game, but also talk about, you know, the pain that he was feeling to a degree and having that taken away and how that's motivating him to come back. So I'm glad they got that out of the way. I still maintain my my take from the previous pod that I hope this is it, that, you know, Teddy came, you know, fed the media what they need. Everyone can go write their nice stories about it. And then he just goes to the back and rehabs, and questions about Teddy are kind of diverted away from that, letting everyone know that we're going to talk about the players who are actually playing. And, you know, Vikings switched it up. Rookies came in a little bit early. And I know, and I really just threw this topic in for Miles because, you know, I wanted him to get an opportunity to tell us we don't listen to him nearly enough. But rookie camp happened, and, so, you know, it was rookies against rookies, all that kind of stuff. You know, some of the vets who were coming back from injury came in a little bit early, and we started to get some reports of some people playing, balling. So I wanted to get y'all's quick reaction. We'll do this real rapid-fire style just so, you know, Miles can tell us we don't listen. Miles, what are your reactions for what you were hearing coming out of rookie camp?
No, just there's a lot of, you know, good young players the Vikings brought in that they're excited about, that they think could compete for, you know, potential roster spots or even, you know, practice squad spots, you know, the 10 practice squad, you know, holes that are filled every year. And a guy, you know, for me that I was excited about that I really like coming out, RJ Shelton, he's a guy I think, I'm not saying he's going to make the team. I really don't think he is, but I think practice squad is something that really is a really big opportunity for him. And I think he might be able to seize. I mean, I know the last few days before when they were doing the early reports for kind of their second rookie mini camp, you'd call it, is he was balling out. He was showing everybody, you know, he could run really good routes, create a lot of separation, go up and get the ball. And he's not a big guy either. So he's a guy I'm really excited about. And I personally coined Mr. Mankato. And I think, I don't know if I've seen anybody else do it. So he was the name I picked because I didn't want to go with the usual draft pick, the usual, you know, guy everybody expects it to be. So I'm excited about him. And I think there's a few other guys that people are excited about. I think Caleb Jones is another one that wide receiver wise, who's turning some heads. And I know he was with the organization last year too. So he's another name I think could make a name for himself, you know, in the preseason.
Awesome. JR, what about you? Which name stood out in terms of what you were hearing from rookie camp, and which guys do you think are most likely to be able to kind of carry that on now that the veterans are back?
The one guy I was really happy to hear that seemed like he was playing well from the things that I heard and seen was, he wasn't a rookie, but Taylor Heinicke, just getting back in the swing of things. You know, he's had a year off recovering from that surgery, from the injury that he had from kicking the glass door in. But, you know, the thing about quarterback is it's about mental reps. And it's hard to get those reps and recover when you're just sitting on the sideline, especially injured. It's just it's different from being actually in there. And it's good to see that he still has his time. That's the biggest thing you see drop off from guys who are sitting on the sideline and not necessarily thrown in the fire is their timing. They lose their timing. And I'm glad to see he seems like he hasn't lost any of his touch either as far as his arm strength and just feel for the game. So I really hope that carries over into the preseason for him. And I would really like to see him win that backup spot. But that's something we'll just have to wait and see in those preseason games. But I was really happy to hear that he played well in rookie camp, and I hope it carries over into training camp.
Awesome. Prince, who you got for us, man?
I've heard a lot of reports as far as, you know, maybe not necessarily rookies, but just the tight end group. I've heard that they've been doing really well. Me personally, I do want to see a little bit more out of the tight end group when it comes to, we just need more explosiveness, more, more mismatches. I mean, we have a lot of guys who are, you know, 6'4", 6'5", 6'6", and I just don't feel like we can utilize them in the ways that, you know, they should be. So here are reports that the tight ends are doing a lot better. I want to see Kyle Rudolph step up even more so. I want to see, again, Bucky Hodges become more of a weapon. You know, see David Morgan, you know, being able to be used everywhere because he's maybe a little bit more versatile than the other guys. And I also heard Kyle Carter was another guy that, you know, is kind of turning heads a little bit more. Looks a little bit bigger, maybe not as fast, but definitely looks a little bit more athletic. So I definitely want to see the tight end group contribute a lot more. So I know that we look at the wide receiver group and be like, yeah, we want them to, you know, put up all these big numbers, but, you know, we also need to see some of those, you know, three tight end sets that are, you know, some pass plays that they are getting the ball. So that's a group that I definitely been hearing more so about. I'm excited to watch them when I go down to camp.
Cool. You could have just answered Bucky Hodges. I mean, that'd have been all right too. But you know, training camp first day in the books. Obviously, all of us were glued to the live stream updates that were coming through today. We'll start with you, Prince. What was the, your first your big overreaction? We'll say, because that's pretty much what happens every day at training camp. Something happens and we all collectively overreact to either an injury or a big play, or you know, some guy getting separation on some other guy, Miles. So, Yinka, what was your big takeaway from the first day of training camp?
It is the first day. I'll leave the obvious sophomore surge answer to our boy Miles, but actually that center position, that Nick Easton versus Pat Elflein. I definitely want to see Pat Elflein step up. From everything I heard, talked to Arif actually just yesterday, and one thing he's saying that he's seeing technically, as far as smarts, athleticism, Elflein is above the rest, but he's having issues with snapping the football. So I want to see him improve a little bit there. But if Nick Easton can still give him a run for his money, I think that only bodes well for the Vikings' depth. And we are going to need depth after we've heard, you know, Riley Reiff, he had a scare today. You know, I do want that spot to be more solidified, but I definitely want some of the interior linemen to do well as well. So it's good to hear Elflein's doing well, as well as I've heard Danny Isadora is also doing well. But I am still watching that battle, that center battle. So that's my overreaction.
Well, we'll go to JR. What's up with you, man? What are you taking away? What's your big overreaction from day one of training camp?
How about Mackenzie Alexander? It seems like he had a up and down day, but he flashed a ton. I know a lot of people were saying he had an interception off of Sam when he was in at nickel against Adam Thielen, excuse me. You know, stepping into being a starter this year, replacing Captain Munderland, is really important that he gets his confidence sky high, because outside of Terrence Newman, we really don't have a backup option just in case he does fail. So it's really good to see him coming out the gates firing as far as having some success from the nickel, because we're really going to need him this season and in the future. So it was really good to see that he has some early success.
And Miles, what was your big takeaway? Did anything happen today? Like any clips, anything get released? What was your takeaway from the first day of training camp?
No,
hashtag sophomore surge.
All jokes aside, like that's just me being me. You know, I really want to see Laquan Treadwell do well. And I think even just the small couple of clips I've seen, you know, he obviously does just look quicker and faster than he did last year. But the overreaction I definitely had was hearing Riley Reiff go down. And the first thing I did when I saw the news was typed in available left tackles still. And they see names like Will Beatty and Ryan Clady. And I'm like, oh, Lord, we're going to have to sign one of those guys. It's 2016 all over again. Rashad Hill, step up, please. Don't put TJ Clemmings out there. So just kind of that, you know, like you had said, Jason, that injury overreaction. It's the first day of training camp. Zimmer went on KFan and talked about, you know, it's the first day, you know, they're all camp, so you know people get dinged up, and I don't even know what he said. But
twinged,
yeah, which I've never heard someone say before. But you know, it's just like a tweak, so it just sounds like he kind of just tweaked something. So as long as he's all right, I'm all right. But you know, something that always scared me for sure. I was on Twitter updating, you know, refreshing, like, come on, tell me how he's doing. Tell me he's all right. Tell me we can move on and let's bubble wrap these guys and move on to the season. But that'd be my overreaction for sure.
Has Vikings Twitter MD told us what's going on with Jerick McKinnon yet? Anybody know? Anyone hear anything?
Sounds like a potential like hamstring pull, maybe.
Get that man some water. He'll be all right.
It might not be a pull, but one thing I do know about training camp, especially training camp and early on, is guys, you know, might get banged up. And I think it was the second day of practice last year I went down to training camp and Diggs was out of practice just for precautionary purposes. So a lot of these guys will sit out and, you know, not go back into practice just for those precautionary purposes, because it's a long season, so you need those guys. So some of it, you know, might be a little overreaction, you know, for sure. I know on my part.
And just to add on to that, you know, Jet adding that weight too. I think he has to get used to carrying that around too, because it's something new and it's a little heavier on his body and his legs. So it's going to be an adjustment for him.
With that point, how do you guys feel about, I mean, last couple of years, players have had less practice, less time, you know, getting hit and all that stuff. Do you feel like maybe we should kind of have a middle ground for how it used to be versus how it is now, so guys can, you know, the bodies can get more acclimatized to these hits, and, you know, maybe it will result into less injuries?
I mean, dude's going to get hurt regardless. It's going to happen. It's training camp. I mean, it's a grind. You're going to have bumps and bruises here and there, no matter what the training camp schedule is or whatever type schedule that you have. Injuries going to happen. Guys are going to cramp up, hamstrings. All that stuff's going to happen. It's just a part of the training camp process.
Yeah, I definitely agree with JR there. I mean, a lot of it, too, is like, I do agree with that. There could be a little bit more hitting and earlier in training camp, just so you can get used to kind of the hitting sensation. Because, you know, when you do get in the season, you don't really do a lot of hitting until game day. So I do agree with kind of that, Prince, is that, you know, do it a little bit early, kind of get guys used to it again so that they can get back in the swing of things. But I think there is such thing as too much hitting too, though, because you don't want to wear guys down too much. So,
yeah, maybe in the final week of camp or whatever, maybe allow one or two full pad practices where, you know, guys could, you know, do a little bit of bump and run, or, you know, just a little bit of hitting just to get their bodies used to it before they go on that 6 week break. I'm just curious about.
I'd say do it earlier, not saying like the first couple of days, but like, you know, toward like the very middle of camp is when you should really get into hitting, in my opinion, because the last part of camp is kind of, you're getting through it so that, because you have the preseason game to get ready for, and you don't want to get guys hurt. So,
yeah, I'm with the other guys on this one. Where, I mean, it doesn't really matter what they do; guys are going to get hurt. The one thing I would want to try to see, or have someone try to figure out, kind of along those lines, would maybe to try to figure out a way to get some of these linemen some more work, just because, you know, the state of blocking, pass blocking is something atrocious across most of the NFL. So if there was a way that you could figure out a way to let guys get padded up and do some work where you could get some more run for offensive linemen, especially those young guys coming in who need to learn how to block at the NFL level, I think that would be something that would make sense. But I think that's it for our training camp conversation. And it's also, I was worried for a moment there, like it wasn't going to happen, but we lost Yinka. So he made it almost all the way through, but, you know, oh, goody, Yinka's back. Hey, buddy.
Hey, y'all, what's going on? It's like I never left. I'm good. Hey. It's like I never left, man.
Well, you know, Yinka is back. So we'll start with Yinka. Talk about, you know, what you got upcoming for us, man. What projects you got going on?
Yeah, I'm really trying to power through this depth chart and whatnot. Big project, I guess I would say, is going on is really prepping myself for training camp. This will be my first training camp that I'll actually be on the field, getting the ability to take videos from sidelines of players, take photos, really give more play-by-play from what I'm actually seeing. I've been training camp in the past couple of years, but there is definitely a different experience when you're actually down on the field. So
Yinka,
a lot of content from. Yes, sir.
So since you're going to be out there on the field, I mean, you know, we've been out here, you know, asking for these, you know, these reviews, 5-star ratings. You know, you think we, you know, if someone was to go in there, hit us off with, you know, a review, maybe send us a screenshot of the nice things they said to us, that, you know, they could maybe submit a question for you to ask a player, if the question's appropriate, of course.
Yeah, absolutely. If I'm definitely in the point where, you know, fans have some things they want to ask players, they want to hear about it. Feel free to give us a like, and then I'll try my best to meet up with that player and ask that question.
Well, that is awesome. JR, I know, you know, things are getting busy for you here, but what you got in the hopper for us?
Yeah, working on a big project I shared with you guys earlier, an entire database of the 2018 NFL draft prospects. I'm getting through my top 100 right now. I'm actually on 51 right now. Just finished up my guy Josh Sweat from Florida State, the Florida State University.
Oh, man.
But, you know, just getting through all those guys. I want to get to 200 prospects total by December, so hopefully that can happen. And I'll release the actual spreadsheet once I finalize my rankings next April. So that's the plan.
JR, I got a guy that I want you to kind of start looking into. He's a defensive back for the Gophers. He kind of plays a hybrid safety quarterback position. Kunle, I'm not sure if you heard of him at all, but he might be someone that you might want to look into to see just how dominant he can be. That's just my recommendation.
I'll make sure to put him in the database just for you, and I'll highlight his name.
I know JR has heard of him. I mean, he sent us a clip of him just the other day.
Yes. Now I will make sure to, you know, put him in there just for you, and hopefully my opinion of him isn't too bad and you don't kick me out the group.
Oh yeah, for sure. It can only be a positive thing. So.
And Miles, how about you? Now that you're back in the regular swing of things, and I mean you got your puppy there, so you still gonna have time to, you know, work on that article. I know you said you wanted to do a little something about separation in the NFL, what that means. Is that still what's next on deck for you? Is puppy life basically what's gonna be on deck for Miles for the next forever?
Oh, that's forever. But no, I wanna drop it next week actually. So I've been kind of slowly working on it a little bit to kind of piggyback off of JR's Stephon Diggs article. There'll definitely be some Diggs love in there, but you know, the art of separation, and like I think a lot of people have a misperception of kind of what separation is in the NFL for wide receivers, tight ends, running backs, you know, anybody running a route really. So I'd really love to kind of dive into that and kind of take a different perspective, because most people right now are talking training camp and all that. So I kind of wanted to go a different route and kind of change it up. So I'm really excited about it.
That's awesome. I have something in mind, and I'm actually going to lock myself in the house this weekend and get cracking on it. So I know I've been going back and forth with you guys a little bit in the group message, talking about Sam Bradford breakout, what that might look like, what are the possibilities of it happening, since that's a narrative that is out there quite a bit. So I'm going to dig into some historical comps and just look at the situation Sam's in now and, you know, try to come up with my case for whether or not Sam Bradford is going to break out in the 2017 season. So
that should be fun.
Yeah, it should be an interesting one. So
I can help you with the conclusion, Jason, if you need me to.
No. I'm going to let the data tell me what it tells me. I don't need you Teddy files out here trying to you know, influence the outcome. I'm going to let the data say what it says, and then, we'll go from there and see how it is received. So, yeah, with that said, good to have the whole crew back, actually at home, do a pod where everyone's in the normal locations. Prince is on the move again, so I'm going to go ahead and wrap this thing up before we lose them. So, thank you for listening. Support the pod. Hit us with a review. Screenshot it. Send it our way, and maybe your question will be asked to a Vikings player at training camp. See y'all.
One of you guys' takes is trash. I got to go take it out to make myself feel better.